Let's finish up this series that we started two Sundays ago on anger, and we started talking about anger, but not the typical way probably that everybody thought, because it wasn't just like, we're not talking just like dealing with your anger, but more or less the basis of this whole thing is, why are we getting angry at things that don't matter? A lot of times we get ticked off and mad over things that are completely stupid and pointless. For example, I get up this morning and I look like a sniper shot me right in the middle of my forehead, right here. I know y'all see it. Let's just call what it is, all right? Yeah, you see it right there. You know what I'm saying? So, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, I did not. This is not a bullet hole in my head. But I'm looking in the mirror this morning, I'll just be honest with y'all. It's a zit that I squeezed a little too much. We've all done it, all right? I'm not gross. Okay, I'm gross. But we've all done it, right? Let's just call it is what it is. So it has turned now into a cut because I could not get it, okay? And like I could still feel the pus down in there, and I know that's gross. Some of you are like, ugh. But let's not sit here and be like, I had never popped a zit. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. All right. So, I'm like, awesome. I look in the mirror and I'm like, that looks great. That's going to be sweet for when I'm talking in front of 60 people tonight or whatever it is, so that they can all. Actually, it's more like 12 because nobody came. But they probably heard about the bullet hole in my head and they're like, let's not go. And I'm sitting there looking at that and going, you got to be kidding me. And I'm sitting here getting all mad and getting all worked up in my head because I'm like, they're all going to be staring at my head, and all this stuff. And I'm getting mad over something that's completely stupid and pointless, okay? Because number one, again, we've all done it. So that's one. But number two, it's more important for you guys to hear the words coming out of my mouth than the bullet hole in my forehead, okay? Or the BB that's stuck under my skin right there. Whatever it is, but that's more important. Okay, we gotta look at the priorities here. All right. So now that you all are staring at my head the whole time, all right, because I probably shouldn't have said nothing, but I actually did on purpose because like I got mad about it, but then I'm like, you know what, I can use that. I can talk about what I did to myself, inadvertently tonight. And I can use that to prove a point to you guys of getting mad over something that's completely dumb and stupid. And how that really doesn't matter. How we get mad over stuff. If somebody cuts you off on the highway or somebody says something mean to you and you let it bother you, or you get mad over somebody just being being an idiot. And because people are idiots, right? So, yeah, people on the road especially. But we get all mad and worked up over it for nothing. For no reason, it has no lasting effect on anything. And then last week we talked about being part of the family of God and about how our salvation and our relationship with God, a lot of times we look at it as a me-focused, as a self-centered kind of thing, as it's just me and God chilling in the corner and everybody else needs to stay back. Kind of thing, and we don't necessarily do that on purpose, but we end up getting to that. And being in a relationship with God, it's not an individual thing. It's not all about me. In fact, our life is meant to be lived connected to other people. That's the way that God intended it to be. He's God. He could have come down and just made himself like always floating in the sky so that we could always see him and we would always know that God is there and he would reach out to us anytime we needed him. We'd all be robots going, yes, Lord, all the time, right? And just doing exactly what he says all the time because he's right there. But he didn't do that because he's God and he chose to do it a completely different way. He chose to reach people through people. He chose to reach humanity through us. To use you and me to reach people on earth. And we actually need that. We need those kinds of connections. We need those kinds of relationships Because we fall into this dangerous trap of thinking that it's just me and God, and then it's the rest of the world. And you don't even realize that you've fallen into that. We got to remember that we're a part of something bigger. So I want everybody to do something right now. All right? I want everybody to repeat after me. After me. Okay. What's on the screen? All right? We are God's people.
We are God's people.
We live in God's word.
World.
We live in it God's way.
We live in God's way.
Let's try that again. I'm going to smack you guys. We are God's people. We live in God's world.
We live in it God's way.
Okay. Stop repeating after me.
Repeating after me.
What does that really mean? And how do we really make that a legitimate statement in our life? You know, what does that really mean to us? How can we really make that kind of come out in our life? It's a little bit about what we're going to talk about. 4,000 years ago, on this earth, people lived, you know, they were God's people who lived in God's world, and they did it God's way. 2,000 years ago, the same thing. What did it mean to be a part of God's people 2,000 years ago? And what did it mean to be a part of God's people today? You know, 4,000 years ago, there was this thing. This is really kind of cool, actually. 4,000 years ago, in the Jewish culture at least, there was this thing. Every 50 years, it was called the Year of Jubilee. All right? And this was actually really cool. It's kind of a weird name, but it's pretty cool what it was. Every 50 years, everybody's debts were completely wiped out. Completely. So, like, you owe, you know, $2,000 on your TV or whatever, you know, every 50 years, they didn't have TVs. I know, thank you. Your debts are completely wiped away, and everybody starts back at zero. Everybody starts back at the same place, and it was every 50 years that would happen. All right? Now, the crazy thing was, back then, money wasn't like, you know, greenbacks or, you know, even gold necessarily. Currency was land, like property. Because if you think about it, 4,000 years ago, as somebody said, we didn't have TVs. We didn't have a McDonald's that you could go down to, right, to get food. So people needed land to grow
crops,
right, and to raise animals, right, so that they could eat, right, survive. Yes, lots of words we can fill in there. So land was a very important thing back then, all right? And if you get into debt to somebody, you owe somebody something, well, you just give them a little chunk of your land. You give them another little chunk of your land. Next thing you know, you got a piece of land that's like, you know, this big, and you got, you know what I'm saying? And you're like, I can't even grow a stalk of corn on this or whatever. But that year's Jubilee, right, 50 years, every 50 years, You get your property back. You get some property back, okay? So that's kind of a cool thing. The reason that was done, from God's perspective, put everybody on the same playing field. Everybody was on the same playing field. Now, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus decided to come in the time when, in his land at least, 80 to 90% of the people there were in poverty. 80 to 90%. So it was like the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. And it was because of Herod and the taxes and all the different things. And it really ticked off Jesus a lot because of the big separation gap between the haves and the have-nots. He was enraged by it. And a lot of his mission and what he did was to try to bridge that gap. He didn't go to the people that had everything. He went to the people that had nothing and showed them God's love, right? And it's amazing, actually. I was watching this show the other night called A Case for Faith, and this guy was actually talking about the realistic aspect of Jesus' ministry. His ministry on earth, like when he came out and started preaching, he was 30, okay? His ministry lasted 30. He died when he was 33 and a half, so it was 3.5 years that he walked this earth. And the guy was like, you know, looking at the Roman government and the things that Jesus was saying, he goes, I'm surprised he lived 3.5 years. I'm surprised it took him 3.5 years to kill him because of the stuff that he was saying. Jesus was not this meek, mild little dude walking around who was just like, I forgive you, and just this nice little man. You know, he wasn't. He was a rebel. He was in people's face. He was in the government's face, telling them what they were doing was wrong, telling the religious people who thought that they were religious what they were doing was wrong and that they were going against God. It really was amazing that he lived 3.5 years, that it took him that long to kill him. So, you tell me, what angers God? Knowing all that, go ahead, Joe. Where are you? Huh? Sin. Right, but based on some of the things that we were just talking about just now, you know, what angers God? We got to look for what angers God and do something. As people of God living in God's world, right, God's way, we got a responsibility when we see injustice and when we see things that are going on and we just sit back and do nothing about it. If you guys got your Bibles, which I don't know if any of you do, but that's okay, I'll read this verse to you. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Bible. It's close to the front if you're looking for it. Chapter 10, verse 17 and 18 say this: For the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. God is a giving God. Poverty bothers God. Injustice bothers God. And sometimes we see that stuff and just look right past it because we've got this me-focused, self-centered attitude toward God and toward my relationship with God that it's just me. I've heard from some of you a couple of times talking to you in various instances where you've told me things like, I don't feel close to God, or I feel like I'm far from God right now and I don't know why. Has anybody ever felt that way before? I mean, you don't necessarily have to raise your hands, but I mean, I think we all have. That's okay, some of you have, and some of you raise your hands, and it's okay, because I have. And I found a verse, actually, this week that really kind of pointed out what I think the real problem is and why that happens to us sometimes. Why sometimes we feel far from God. And it's in the book of James, actually. James chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And these are pretty straight up verses, kind of in your face verses. Verse 19 says, You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? You know usually why you feel far from God and why sometimes you feel like God's not even there, or maybe you feel like your Christianity hasn't even come around, that you just said a prayer and nothing else happened? It's because you've never put your faith into action. It's because you're not doing anything with it. The Christian life is not a spectator sport. Not a bit. It's not a spectator sport. I've gone to many a Ohio State game, okay? And when I'm there, I usually wear a jersey, and I'm in the crowd yelling at Tressel when he makes the wrong call and cheering for the team and talking about how much of a genius he is when he makes the right call. Yelling at players when they don't make a block and all that kind of stuff. And it's so easy for me to sit up in the stands, right, with that jersey on and yell at the team like I'm part of the team and tell them what to do. But just because I got a jersey on doesn't mean I can play and that I can actually throw a block or that I can run the ball or I can catch the ball. And it's the same thing with the Christian life. So many times we come in here and we wear the jersey and we throw the comments out and we criticize here and there, but we're not actually doing anything to be on the team. This is not a spectator sport, guys. The Christian life is not a spectator sport. It's so easy for us to wear the jersey. It's very easy to walk in here or to walk out there and wear the jersey. But it's not that easy to actually play in the game. So our connection point for tonight actually is real faith is something that we experience. Real faith in God is not something that you can just sit on your hands. Because if your faith is real and your relationship with God is real, you can't sit on your hands because you're compelled. Because you see injustice and you see things that make God angry. And you see things that you know you can do something about. And you become a part of that. How do you think mission trips came about, you guys? This is exactly how. This is exactly what mission trips are. It's exactly what mission trips are. And if we try to do these things on our own, we're not going to really accomplish a whole lot. You can. You can accomplish some things, but you can't do anything on your own. Not really. You need at least God. But if God chose to use us, think about how much more he could do with us collectively as a group. We can accomplish a lot more together than we can alone. We've got to come together if we're going to reach our community, if we're going to reach our world, if you're going to reach your friends for Christ, and you really mean it, and you're compelled to do something about it, you're not just going to put the jersey on. You're going to put on the pads and the helmet and the whole nine, and you're going to get in the game. You're going to get in the game with the rest of the team. That's what this is about, guys. Every play in football, if all 11 guys don't do their job, for the most part, the play falls apart. Any football player in here will tell you that. If all 11 guys don't do their job, that play is going to fall apart. If we don't all do our job and we don't all get together and we don't come together to reach our friends, it's all going to fall apart. And you might not be able to make a change in your world alone. But together, I know we can make a difference. I know we can. Are you going to let petty little things keep you from doing it? Stupid little pet peeves? Or are we going to get angry about the stuff that really matters and join the fight and get in the game and get in the battle?